Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's wanting to prepare us for what's ahead and to give us that assurance that He's more than enough. You know, so often when we pray, it's like, if God will just give me a little bit of what I'm asking for, you know, I'd like just a little bit, kind of like the little cabin in the corner of Glory Land or something. A song that they used to sing years ago. But God has a different plan. Mm-hmm. And His plan is to give us way more than we can ever ask for. And so the first scripture there, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, now to Him who, by and in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. So that tells us who it covers, all generations. And it's going to be by the glory of God, not by our effort. And He wants to do super abundantly, far over and above. And I don't know about you, but I can pray some pretty big prayers. But God says, I can outdo it all. And I have a plan to do even greater than anything that you could ask. And what is really fun is watching, you know, and just listening to the testimonies of, you know, what God's been doing. And it's really fun. He's going to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. We don't always know how He's going to do it. The whole point is that God has plans. He has plans to bless you. He has plans to make everything work together for good.
That's right.
To those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 5, verses 20 through 21. But then law came in, only to expand and increase the trespass, making it more apparent and exciting opposition. But where sin increases and abounded, grace, that is God's unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased the more and super abounded. I love that word. Super abounded. So that just as sin reigned in death, so grace, His unearned and undeserving favor, might reign also through righteousness, which is right standing with God, which issues in eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, our Lord. So where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. It brings in that greater abundance. So people, you know, they keep reminding me how sinful our nation is becoming. And God keeps telling me this great work that He's going to do.
Yeah.
And He said, call for laborers for the harvest. Yesterday, I got a revelation. And I don't know what to do with it yet. But He said, begin to pray for the 144,000 witnesses. He said, it is time to begin to pray for the 144,000 witnesses. I didn't know we had anything to do with that, but apparently our prayer has something to do with it.
Man, it run all through me.
And He said, begin to pray for labors for the harvest. So something is ready to move. Something is, and God is preparing. God is making all of this work out according to His plan, His purpose. The sin is abounding. I was sharing with Nelson and Janie, just watching the TV programs. And this new program that they have called The New Normal, which is, you know, homosexuals. So this is going to be the new normal, they're calling it. And most of the hosts that they have on these programs are homosexuals. They're all admitted homosexuals. And it's like you can't host a program unless you're a homosexual. This is the new normal. Now, Jesse and I, what really interested me is the fact that they call this the new normal. And then these two storms hit New York with all this death and destruction. You know what they called that? The new normal. The wages of sin is death. That's the new normal. So go ahead and accept this, folks. But you have to also accept this. And whoever named it the new normal, I'm sure didn't tie it back to the other to even think about it. But it's just like, oh, well, this is what we're going to be expecting now, for the next many years. I think one guy said 25 years, we can expect now these kinds of storms and this kind of devastation. So we have to accept it as the new normal. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So we're not focusing on the sin and the death. We're focusing on the glory of God that's going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. See? And so we're praying for the 144,000 witnesses. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Let's pray for them. Let's all pray. We call out, Father.
Yes, we do.
Bring them out. Bring them out. We pray for the witnesses. 145,000 witnesses.
Say, come forth.
Come forth from all of the tribes. From all the tribes of Israel. Come forth.
All over.
Come forth. Come forth. Come forth.
Come forth.
Right now. Hallelujah. And fulfill all of God's pleasure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And so we need to continue day after day after day. We need to be calling forth. Because we can't see what God's up to, but we don't have to. When I was in the Marine Corps, I didn't know hardly anything that was going on. I didn't know what the generals were thinking. They didn't tell me. They didn't tell the, what the generals told the colonels to tell the lieutenants, to tell the sergeants, to tell the privates. I just did what I was told. And Jesus, when he came to the earth, he said, I just do what I'm told. I do what I see my Father do. I speak what I hear my Father speak. But God says, I'm more than enough, and I'm going to do super abundantly. In other words, it's my idea, not your idea. You don't have to convince God to do anything. He's already convinced. It's His idea. And all we're doing is speaking it into existence. See, I know people have prayer all messed up because they think, well, we have to pray to get God to do things.
No.
That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is finding out what God is doing. Let Him tell you. And then you speak it into prayer. You speak it into existence in behalf of Jesus Christ. And the name of Jesus means in behalf of. So I'm speaking, I have power of attorney to speak in Jesus' behalf on the earth. Jesus gave it to me in John 14. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. In other words, we're asking the Father as though it was Jesus asking the Father. Mm-hmm. So we're asking in His behalf, and God then is doing what He's going to do. That is His plan. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. So He's doing His job. But Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life. And have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's abundance. Where you have enough life for you and your family, and you have life left over for your neighbors and your church and for whoever needs you, whoever's on the phone. I spend a lot of time on the phone. Jesse spends a lot of time on the phone because there's needy people. And I have them ask me, am I draining you? Am I taking too much out of you? I said, no, I have plenty. Now, if I don't spend time in the Word and I don't spend time praying in tongues, I don't have enough.
Yes, right.
But I keep going to the source, and I keep drawing and drawing and drawing, always mindful that I'm going to need more than I think I need. I used to call it being super saturated. You know, I don't just want to have enough to feel good. I want to be so super saturated that whoever needs, they come up and touch the hem of my garment, I want them to be healed. Whatever they need, I want life to be there to, as Jesus felt virtue go out of him. The word virtue there is actually life essence. He actually felt life essence go out of him when the woman touched the hem of his garment. So we need to be full of that life essence. Ephesians 3:17. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide. Make his permanent homes in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. In other words, we have to have our roots down. Our foundation has to be such that we can draw up. See, the roots of the tree is what's drawing up the sap and pushing that life up the tree and producing the fruit. We need to be fruitful people. And so we need to be rooted deep in love, grounded securely on love. Because love is the beginning of all things. And love is energy. Love isn't just a fluffy feeling. Love is sacrificing, you know, it's self-sacrificial giving. It's being interested in the best interest of others. And so we need to be grounded in love, for God so loved he gave. That kind of love. That we just give and we give and we give and we keep giving. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
Okay, hope being that joyful, confident expectation. People need Jesus. They don't know they need Jesus, but they need Jesus. They're hungry. They don't know what they're hungry for. And so, and I love this. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. The riches of glory. For instance, the scripture says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, or down through Christ Jesus. So you say, well, how much is available? You say superabundantly. The only way you'll ever know how much is available is to check heaven, because everything we need is in heaven and comes to us down through Jesus Christ. Everything we need. And he's promised, he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll never let you down, I'll never leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not. In Hebrews 13:5, in the Amplified Bible, I will not, I will not, I will not. Because it's in the aorist form of the Greek, which is continuous action. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So there's Christ in you, we're blessed with. See, we're blessed with Christ, everything that Christ has, and Christ is in you, then you have available to you everything that the Father has given to Jesus. Fact is, in John 14, the scripture says, Jesus said, I'm going to take what the Father has given to me to give to the Holy Spirit to give to you. So everything that the Father has is available for us. Check glory. You want to know what's available? Check glory. Check heaven. And he's going to bless us. Now, where is he going to bless us? with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Okay? This particular phrase is used over and over and over again, especially in Paul's writings, and is not talking about heaven out there. Heavenly places is the activity of God on the earth. That the God of heaven is bringing all this down to earth. So when we're praying, for instance, for these 144,000, calling them forth, then God is going to empower them. He's going to give them everything they need. What's neat is they can't be killed. They can't be killed. I've talked from time to time about my friend up in Idaho. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this superabundance that we're talking about is Jesus himself living in you and I to carry out the will of the Father on the earth. Of course, not all people know how to watch movies. Some people, or TV. My mom was one of those that she could never sit and watch TV. If it was a soap operas, she was screaming at them. Why, you stupid idiots, why are you? Don't you know better? Mom, somebody wrote that, and these are actors, actresses. You know. She can never get the concept. You know. It's especially bad on wrestling now. I mean, she would be out of her chair up there.
My grandma lingo was like that.
But God says, stand back and watch me work. Now, he'll have us participating. But it's not our fight. It's not our war. It's not up to you to do it. It's up to you to obey. That's all our part is. Just simply obey him. We're witnesses. Mm-hmm. You and I need to be free. We don't need to be uptight. It's not up to you. So enjoy the Lord. Enjoy being who God made you to be, to do what God wants you to do. Pretty simple. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but you know, we read Scripture so easily. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, that's fine until you start reading the Old Testament. I mean, just in one incident, for instance, dedication of the temple. How many bulls, how many rams, how many sheep were slaughtered? Throughout the Old Testament, how many? You couldn't count the number that have been slaughtered. And one act of obedience is better than all of that sacrifice in God's eyes. When you just do that one thing, you speak that one thing, you know, and God's saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay, Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable. Have you ever tried measuring the immeasurable? There's no way you could, as the scripture says, whenever we can measure the universe, God will forsake Israel. It's expanding too fast to measure. They'll never get it measured. Because by the time they measured it, they'd have to measure again. What is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe? That's us, we-ins, y'all. As demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Of course, see, for me, I'm real simple, so I have to do things real simple. And there again, I go back to the Old Testament. What kind of demonstration of power is there in the Old Testament? Well, we know that he pushed back the Red Sea so that 3 million people could go by on dry ground. Okay, and I realize that there's some theologians that said it's not the Red Sea, it's the Reed Sea, and it was only 4 inches deep. And I say, what a miracle. that all of Pharaoh's army died in 4 inches of water.
Greater miracle.
They stuck their face down.
I think they found some of them wheels.
They found the wheels in 80 feet of water.
Yes, they did.
In 80 feet of water.
Figured they'd find them someday.
Yep, they have.
Yeah.
And the guy that found him, a spirit-filled Christian, he kept looking because he was trying to trace where they were, and he couldn't find them. So he went back to the scripture, and he was praying and asking God, and God said, look at the scripture again. Which way was the wind blowing from? Ah. Okay, then we have to look over here. And when they looked over, there they were. So, that took power. I don't know if any of you ever made a waterbed or not, but just to pick up one corner of a waterbed and tuck the sheet in is about impossible for me to do. You know, let alone pushing 80 feet of water back far enough for 3 million people to walk
through. And then dry it out.
How come we don't hear this in the news all over the place?
Yeah. This same guy found a lot of things. And then, of course, he parted the Jordan River when it was time to go into the Promised Land at flood stage.
Yeah.
It wasn't a little dried up creek like it is today. There's barely any water trickling. But this was at flood stage. And they brought the walls of Jericho down. 12 foot thick walls that he brought down. That's power. But it took more power to raise Jesus from the dead than it did all of those things put together. Because all of Satan's host was against the resurrection of Jesus. Satan and all of the fallen angels, all of the unbelieving scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees were all against the resurrection of Jesus. Yet in spite of all efforts, God raised Jesus from the dead. That power is for us who believe. That's superabundance. Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. His intention, and of course that's what I'm interested in. What's your intention? What are you about? What do you want? His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministry toward the building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God. See, I don't think we know God. I don't think we know the Son of God. We know a lot about the Son of God. But I'm convinced I don't know everything there is to know. And I will never know. Throughout this lifetime, I'll never come to that complete knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to. Because that's what makes my mornings so exciting. I learn something new, a new facet of Jesus every day. I get fresh revelation every day. I have stacks of revelation every day. God gives me fresh revelation and I get a glimpse of Jesus. Just a little better glimpse. Paul said, I see through a glass darkly. I know exactly what he's talking about. Because a good example of that, I had cataract surgery last Monday, a week ago. And so they take the old cataract out and put a lens in. I thought I could see white. I was laying, took a nap the other day, and I was laying there looking up at the ceiling, and I started, opening, once this eye, started to come to where I could really see with it. Oh, I always thought that paint was off white. Because there's still a cataract in this eye. And but this eye, I could, and it was pure white. I'd never seen pure white, since I was a kid. I don't know. But it's so gradual, you don't know. But then all of a sudden, you can see, I want to know Jesus. But I want to, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I love to put on to that, see God as he really is. Mm-hmm. See, because people have told us what God is like. We know what God's like. He kills babies and starts wars. I mean, that's what they always tell me.
I know.
Why did God do this to me? Why does God allow things like this to happen? They never think that maybe their sin makes it happen. Mm-hmm. oh, no, we don't want to talk about that.
No.
You know, but they don't see God as God is. I'm also convinced I don't see God as God is. But I'm seeing a better picture every day, knowing Him and knowing His intention, that we might develop until we all attain the oneness and the faith that, and the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and the completeness found in Him. About 25 years ago or so, I did this teaching on much more. It's really fun to go all through the scriptures. Of course, with a computer, you can do it. If you have a Bible program, just type in much more and see how many times it comes up. It's over and over and over. And the other word that goes with it is nevertheless. Nevertheless, always more, much more. So whatever God did in the Old Testament, much more in the New Testament. If you can find anything that God did in the Old Testament, much more through Jesus Christ our Lord. Much more, much more. And it'll just come up, like I said, if you put it in your computer, it'll just print you out a whole page of much more. And it's never less, it's always more. Until we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the completeness found in Him. You and I can be filled with that fullness. If we're hungry, if we're thirsty, if we want that. Of course, with it comes the responsibility of obedience. If you don't want to do anything, then don't bother. You're okay, you're going to heaven. That doesn't satisfy me.
No,
I keep telling people I love to get in the middle of these spiritual warfare things. I love to win. I've never lost yet. So I love to get into them, wade right in the middle of them, and watch God. And it's just like watching a movie to me. It's just like watching a movie. I mean, I may have to speak a part or whatever, and I do that, and then I just stand back and I watch. You know, this falls, and God raises this up and brings that down. And people that I'm participating with this, it's like, we never knew. We never knew there was a living God. We never knew that we could speak or pray or, and God actually do something. Mm-hmm. We knew to say our prayers, but we didn't know. Saying prayers don't do anything. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. But my, when we pray in behalf of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, we speak these things. God's looking for intercessors. And Isaiah says, God said, I want to find an intercessor, someone who will speak it on the earth. And then He moves and He does. And it's fun. It's really fun being a Christian, participating, with God in the midst of it all. I don't think Jesus went around full of anxiety all day, every day. I don't think He worried, I was thinking about that today. He fed 5,000 people one day and 4,000 another day. I wonder if Jesus had enough to eat that day. I think He probably had a plenty to eat. 12 baskets left over. I'd say He probably had a little bit of bread and fish. Yeah. You don't have to worry about yourself, in other words. If you wade into this thing to do God's bidding, there'll be enough to feed 5,000 and you'll have plenty. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.